3, 2, Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Good morning, everyone. I'm Joe Cristiano, and welcome to Liberty Talk Radio, America's libertarian voice and independent streaming internet radio station, broadcasting 24 hours a day, 7 days a week from our studio in Tulsa, Oklahoma, to around the world. This broadcast is being brought to you on February 28th, 2008. It is now 6:31 a.m. Central Standard Time in the good old USA. Folks, good morning, everyone. It's time for us to take back control of our government now before this bureaucratic, oversized, and self-serving federal government starves us of our property, our freedom, our rights, and our liberty. To do this, we must shed conventional thinking regarding our political structure. We need to be revolutionaries in thought, dissidents in action. Only after we recognize what our government is doing to our freedom and our Constitution will we start taking it back. And now, on to our program. Good morning, everyone. The first thing I'd like to, this is Joe Cristiano again, the first thing I'd like to do this morning is read a couple of emails that I have received recently, and one which I didn't read that I received a few weeks ago that I misplaced. The first one here is, thanks Joe for your coffee mug. I got it in the mail yesterday, and proudly, it is proudly on my desk at work. Most of the people I work with do not know what a libertarian is, but that's because most of them were raised in government schools or have been brainwashed by the Matrix. And we had a program, folks, about the Matrix. I call the government the Matrix. That's the artificial intelligence that's controlling our lives. My hope is that they will notice the mug and look up libertarian for themselves. Anyway, I love your show. Never miss one. Thank you very much. And that was from Jim in Liberty. He said, Jim. This one's from... the email. You can never tell from the email address who they're from. I got to check to the bottom. Ah. Oh, geez. MG. This is from MG. I don't have a name here. MG, I wrote you a few weeks ago regarding your membership in the ACLU, to which you responded you... What don't you like about them? I have hundreds of reasons, but below is just one. I could pull hundreds of these. I really like your show, but I really hate the sick and evil ACLU, which you claim to you are a member of. Here's just one of ACLU's recent evil attempts to allow felons to vote. Felons would vote Democrat, of course. Their attempt is to call the laws that prevent felons and former felons to vote is a poll tax. This, of course, is transparent in its stupidity. What percentage of ACLU members are Democrats? Want to fashion a guess? Best regards, MB. Okay, MB, I just received this email. What I will do is I will bring it. I'm going on a trip, by the way, folks. I will not have a broadcast Sunday evening. I think what we'll do is we'll have one either Monday evening. Let me put it this way. We'll have one Monday evening. I'll reschedule for Monday evening because I'll be out on Sunday evening. I will respond to this on Sunday evening. Okay, let me put this aside. There we go. Okay. I had this. Here is something very interesting, something that all Americans should be aware of. This is a rank order of all the countries, trading countries in the world, and their current account balances. Let's see, how many countries did they list here? There should be 163. There are actually 193 nations, including the Vatican. Right. The one with the largest credit, current account balance, which is an accredited balance, is China. And this information is estimated as of 2007. And I'll give you round figures. $363 billion credit. Japan has $201 billion credit. Germany has $185 billion credit, which is surprising. I was really surprised at that. Saudi Arabia is behind. Germany has only half of it. With all the oil exports that it has, is almost $89 billion. Then Russia, 74. Russia is in fifth place. Then it goes on, Switzerland, Netherlands, Norway, etc., etc., etc. Now, here's what's interesting. When you get to the EU nations, the EU nations all have pretty large deficits. Let me read you the last five. Australia has $51 billion deficit. Italy, almost $58 billion. United Kingdom, $111 billion. Spain, $126 billion. Now, in last place is the United States at $747 billion. Folks, we have a problem. Now, many years ago, or through the years, I should say, including many years ago, I would read in economic magazines, even those of which I was have a high amount of respect for, and I still do, would say there's nothing wrong with having a high deficit because that money comes back as investments. Well, that always bothered me because that seemed like a very one-sided affair. And let me explain. You can't continually be in debt. I mean, intuitively, you can't continually be in debt and then come out to be a winner. And I could figure out why they said it wasn't a bad deal, but neither did I know logically why it was a bad deal. All I knew is that having a large account deficit seemed bad or appeared bad or intuitively was bad. Well, what's occurred and what dawned on me is that if people are holding our dollars and they come back and invest it back in our country, when you say invest, what you are saying in effect is own. Because when these dollars came back, they would buy stock in large, multinational companies like General Electric and General Motors and whatever. Well, when you think of the logic, if I have $1 trillion and I want to invest my money, I would slowly buy, you know, 1 or 2% of General Electric, 1 or 2% of Honeywell, 1 or 2% of McDonald's. You know, you name the company. I would buy these little by little, and sooner or later, the foreign companies own our domestic companies by virtue of the fact that they own all the stock. When you own stock in a company, that's ownership in a business. And not to digress, but that's why I do advocate during these very tumultuous financial times is that people own stock. Because when you own stock, you actually own something of value. If you own stock in AT&T, Verizon, the Altria Group, which is, used to be Kraft Foods, but now it's just a cigarette company internationally, Kraft Foods, you know, you name it, Gillette. You own companies that produce something, that's something very, very tangible. And as a result, if there is an inflation of the money supply, the stock of the company adjusts for inflation. For example, if all of a sudden inflation was 100% tomorrow and everything went up in price 100%, a loaf of bread instead of being $2 was $4, razor blades instead of being a pack of razor blades instead of being $6 was $12, whatever the case may be, well, that would reflect itself in the price of the stock. Just like many years ago, if you look back 30, 40 years ago, the car companies were selling for, you know, $3 and $4 a share. Well, that's because their cars were selling for the high end was selling for $2,000 and $3,000. Now the high end is selling for $30,000 and $40,000. So their stock is 10 times higher, but so is the price of their cars. So it's an inflation adjusting mechanism. But this is what these countries are doing. They don't want dollars because the dollars are being deflated. They're coming back into America and they're buying solid companies and the most solid companies in the world. Our economy may be a little bit shaky. Our economy is not really shaky. Our financial situation may be shaky, but these companies are not, because these companies not only operate in the United States, they operate internationally. So they're buying these companies. Now, do I own some of this stock in these companies? Absolutely. I have basically no cash. In my portfolio, the cash I have is, you know, if I have a large balance, you'll see, I try to keep a positive balance in there, but you'll see like $74.13, you know, if that much. But everything else is invested because I don't want anything in dollar-denominated assets because that's going to depreciate over time, even if I get interest. At best, I break even, then I have to pay tax on the interest and I lose money at the end of the year. So don't be fooled, especially this. What bothers me is these financial advisors will cookie cut everything. And I speak to financial advisors all the time. I get a big kick out of these guys. Now, I'm not a financial advisor. I'm not a financial guru. And I'm not an economist. But I read this stuff all the time. I mean, this is part of me. I mean, this is all I do. You know, I'm sure I have read more about financial stuff than these financial advisors have. If they have read more than me, they read a lot. Because I do this all the time, every day for hours. And whenever I speak with them, you know, I ask them about what they're putting the money in, and they all have the same approach. Well, you know, according to your age, you know, at your age, you should be mostly in bonds, a few stocks, treasury bills, and all that. Exactly the opposite of what I do. In fact, I saw one of my accounts the other day, and it showed me what my cost basis of that account was. And I had put in something like the amount of money that I put into this account was 1/6 of its current value. That means it went up 6 times. If I had listened to these gurus, it would have gone up maybe 10 or 20% over the few years that I had this account. Well, that's because they really are not, in my opinion, most of them aren't very well educated in their field. I mean, they get schooled in their field, but they really don't understand what they're doing. Oh, by the way, this is a talking show. I know this is Thursday morning. I rarely get a call in. Please call 646-652-4600. This is Joe Cristiano. This is Liberty Talk Radio, 646-652-4620. Please, if you are listening now or you're listening during a rebroadcast, please send me your comments to comments@libertytalkradio.com. I love to feed off the comments. I love to talk about them, get your feelings on things so we can discuss them. I like to have an open dialogue. comments@libertytalkradio.com, or please call in right now, 646-652-4620. We have 5 open lines. I'm sure we're not going to use them on an early Thursday morning. And I want to remind everyone, Sunday evening, I will not be broadcasting. I will be broadcasting Monday evening. All right, we're going to have the change because I'm going to be out of town on Sunday evening. Okay, well, we should be concerned about our financial condition, and as such, we should subscribe to a newsletter that keeps us abreast, not so much of what we should invest in, but what's happening to the in the financial arena. And I do recommend that you go to my friend Andy Sutton. He's an economist. And his website is my2centsonline.com. That's my2centsonline.com. And that 2 is a numeric 2. He has a free newsletter on the internet. And as well, he has a paid subscription newsletter where he gives specific recommendations and can give you some personal assistance. He is excellent. Go visit him at my2centsonline.com. He also has a radio program. It's on blogtalkradio.com/my2cents. It is excellent. It'll give you – he's clear. He brings it down to my level that I can understand it, and I'm sure you'll really enjoy it. So go visit Andy Sutton's website. But we really have a problem in this country, and the biggest problem that we have is that we do not understand what the problem is. Now – technically, if you ask Bernanke or you ask Henry Paulson, who's our U.S. Treasury Secretary, and you ask him what is really the problem, they probably could not answer that question. They just could not because they cannot define it. No one can. The problem is so inextricably intertwined with international finance that and financial instruments that we have had no experience with before. And the exponential manner in which these instruments just take the same dollar and multiply the same dollar and sell it back into the market again, how that's done, I don't think anyone really understands. I know that during the Senate Bank Committee, Bernanke had difficulty understanding it or explaining it. And I don't blame him because I don't think anyone understands it. When we are in that type of situation, You have to understand that we are in trouble. We are in very, very deep trouble. And one of the reasons why we're in deep trouble because of the ignorance of the average consumer. Just think of the subprime problem that we have now, of the mortgages that I said, the hundreds of billions of dollars in mortgages that have been multiplied, by the way, during the in derivatives and in special investment to vehicles we call SIVs and CDOs and CMOs and everything else, all these other alphabet soup type of special things that we do that make absolutely no sense. Economic, no, people made money, but it made no economic, there's no economic foundation behind any of them. They're all scams in a way. But just think of people going in there knowing that they can hardly afford rent, buying a $475,000 house, you know, interest only mortgage, then realizing when the interest goes to the normal rate or higher rate that they can't afford it. I mean, it's insane. But these people willingly did that. Now, we can blame the financial institutions, and we should. And we shouldn't blame the financial institutions. We should blame the government, because the government is not making the financial institutions pay for their own mistakes. The financial institutions did this, made a fortune, now go to the government for assistance. The government gives the banks assistance through these special deals through the Federal Reserve of lending the money on the side, right? So they never lose money. Now, when that money is given to the bank, that money's got to come from somewhere, and that's your pocket and my pocket, and that's the hidden tax of inflation. We are paying for these mistakes. We are paying for the stupidity of the average American. There's an article here that I wanted to touch on. And in fact, it's called Dumbing of America. That's the title of my program this morning. And I had to plagiarize that title because that came from Susan Jacoby, and she was also interviewed by Bill Moyer on OETA. This woman is very articulate, and she talks about how Americans are losing their intellectual prowess, if we ever had any, but you know, our intellect. And she says Americans are in serious intellectual trouble. And folks, once we're in intellectual trouble, liberty cannot stand up, because people are not thinking for themselves. People are not saying, no, this is my right. I have a right to this. No one can take this away. I'm going to fight for this. Once you lose your ability to think, once you lose your intellect, you become a slave. And you're going to become a slave. You're going to look for a host. And that host is going to be the government. And that's a real problem in America today. We have most people who are walking around who are slaves of the government and repeat, just like in George Orwell, 1984. They just repeat everything they hear on the stupid idiot box. She goes on to say, in danger of losing our hard-won cultural capital to a virulent mixture of anti-intellectualism, anti-rationalism, and low expectations. And you know, when you think about it, when we're in school, who are the kids that we, the students, the kids, I guess at the time, that we emulate, the ones that we respect, the ones we look up to? The dummies. You know, maybe the guy, you know, he wasn't too smart, but he played football, man, you know, or the cheerleaders, you know. Did we ever look at the nerdy kid who wanted to talk about issues and whatever? You know, he was a nerd, you know, no one wanted to be like him. Now, I was that way. I'll be honest with you. I was very much that way. Man, I was always in trouble in school. I remember I was thrown out of high school. I was thrown out of high school twice. I tell you, I don't know, my mother put up with me. But for whatever reason, and I don't know what reason it was, I got married, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And then all of a sudden, I started to listen to people who I thought had a lot of intellectual capital. And I remember when I worked for a large integrated oil company, I would sit there, and most of the guys were kind of, I tell you, they weren't very good thinkers. They were just bureaucrats. And every once in a while, I'd hear someone hear someone make a statement that was really intelligent. I mean, went right to the core of the problem and in a few words defined the problem and gave a solution. And it was so crystal clear. I say, I wonder how he did that. I wonder how he did that. I wanted to be that person so badly. I didn't know how to do it. I started reading. I started researching. I started listening. And I became obsessed with it. I did this for over 30 years of just wondering how people can do this. Well, you know, my wife says, you know, you're one of those people now. Well, it wasn't easy. But most people don't go through that transition. Just like people go through all sorts of transition in their lives. You know, when they're young kids, they're teenagers, they may be, you know, even on drugs and stuff like that, and smoke and, you know, party, drink a lot. And then they go, all right, enough of that. You know, I got to wake up and there's a real life out there. Well, there really was a real life, an intellectual life out there, and I found it. And I regret the fact that I didn't do this when I was young because I'm still a lousy reader, and it's difficult for me to read. I have to admit that, but it's very difficult for me to read. And it takes a lot of effort for me to read because I don't have the foundation. Because when I was young, I did nothing. I did nothing. I'm ashamed of myself. Now, she goes on to say here, listen to some of these statistics. 82% of college graduates in 1982 read novels or poems for pleasure. Two decades later, 67% did. That's from 82 to 67%. That's a phenomenal drop. And more than 40% of Americans under 44 did not read a single book, fiction or nonfiction, over the course of a year. The proportion of 17-year-olds who read nothing unless required to do so for school more than doubled between 84 and 2004. This time period, of course, encompasses the rise of personal computers, web surfing, and video games. And she says that these zombie-like characteristics are not signs of, this is what someone else says as a retort, are not signs of mental atrophy, they're signs of focus. And she says, boulder dash, and I agree with her, you know. But the inability, she says, is to concentrate for long periods of time as distinct from brief reading hits for information on the web seems to me intimately related to the inability of the public to remember even recent news events. It is not surprising, for example, that less has been heard from the presidential candidates about the Iraq war in the later stages of the primary campaign than in the early ones, simply because there are fewer video reports of the violence in Iraq. Candidates like voters emphasize the latest news, not necessarily the most important news. She's absolutely right. A comparison of two video reports, on the other hand, is cumbersome. Forced to choose between conflicting stories on television, the viewer falls back on hunches or on what he believes before he started watching. As video consumers become progressively more impatient with the process of acquiring information through written language, all politicians find themselves under greater pressure to deliver their messages as quickly as possible, and quickness today is much quicker. Oh, and she's absolutely right. The candidates had ads of 42.3 seconds on average. Now they're 9.8 seconds. And in 2002, another Harvard study showed that the candidate soundbite is down to 7.8 seconds. This is shrinking public attention span fostered by video is closely tied to a second important anti-intellectual force in American culture, the erosion of general knowledge. You know, let me give you an example. I was at a coffee shop doing my research. You have to see the stuff I bring with me. I should bring my whole desk with me. I just take up so much room there. I'm surprised they don't throw me out. But I have, you know, I bring articles and books and everything to read, papers to outline. I go through yellow magic markers. I keep the companies in business. I go through them every week. I go through one or two of them. And there was the gals behind the counter were discussing the campaign. One was an Obama supporter, one was a Hillary supporter, etc. And, you know, and they went on back and forth. I really could not understand what the issue was, but I heard them talking about it. So when I went up for a refill, and by the way, I had Bavarian coffee. It was absolutely fantastic. I had two large cups. I asked the gal behind the counter, I said, I heard that heard you guys speaking about the campaign. They said, oh, yeah, you know, da, 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 da. And she says, yeah, we're very interested in politics. I said, that's really nice. I said, what side did you take? She says, oh, I like Obama, she said. I said, oh, that's right. I said, I guess then you're a socialist. She says, well, I guess so. And I thought that was cute. Well, I guess so. And then she says, well, no, I don't think I am. Well, I said, well, basically, he has socialist tendencies. He's basically a socialist. He wants to redistribute income. Well, I don't know about that. I said, well, that's okay. I said, if you're a socialist, it's okay. I'm not
not arguing with you. I just still like you. No problem. I'm just not a socialist. If you're a socialist, that's okay. I mean, if you're a socialist, you should vote for him. So, okay. I said, can you tell me, you said you really like him. She says, oh, yeah, I really do. I said, can you tell me one thing that you know, specifically that he's going to do or what he said that you like? And she said, I can't think of that right now. I said, well, look, I have a radio program, and I'll tell you what I do. I don't even know your name, so I'm not going to mention you personally, so don't be embarrassed. I said, would you write down for me just one thing that you like about Obama? And what I'd like to do is make that the cornerstone for one of my programs, like if you have health care or whatever the case, whatever the issue is, tell me what it is specifically that you like about it. I mean, just a few words, or you can tell me, but write it down, you know? She says, oh, I can't think of one. I said, well, take your time. I'm going to be here for about another half hour, you know. So I said, but I'd really like you to do that. She said, well, okay, you know. And I said, but remember, I just want one reason why you like him. That's all. Just give me one reason why. Oh, but he's so nice and I identify with him. I said, well, tell me what you identify with. Just give me one reason. That's all. And so I went back to drinking my coffee. And about half hour, 45 minutes later, I needed to leave. I approached the front desk where she was working. And she was gone. She had gone for the day. Folks, that is typical America. I like him. Why? Because I identify with him. Why? He just seems to be the man for change. Why? Well, he's going to change the bad things of the past and make them better. What is it that he's going to change? We don't know. They had on one of the networks, one of the cable networks, rather, the cable channels, they were interviewing political people, but I don't know who these people were. I've never seen them before, but the moderator had asked a person who was a Hillary supporter and said, well, you know, can you tell us why, you know, what the main impetus behind your support for her? And I guess this person must have been a head honcho in the campaign or something, and she was stumped. The woman was stumped. Here she is. She's on television, viewed by millions of people. She is supporting this candidate, and they say, well, can you tell us why? And the look on her face was panic. And she looked around, and you could tell she was just almost like grasping for air. And she mentioned, because she has the experience. And all she did was repeat what she hears in all the sound bites. And we're tired of and she has the experience to change, you know, the way things were with the prior administration. And I think she can do it. And that was it. Folks, we are in trouble. Intellectually, America is getting dumber by the day. And we are losing our liberty because no one knows how to think anymore. That doesn't mean any particular person is absolutely right with everything and that everyone's opinion is correct. But there is no critical thinking. There was no critical thinking when I went to the Republican caucus. None whatsoever. And these were lawyers. These were CPAs. These were professional people. And they had no ability to think. I say, I don't disagree with what you're saying, but you have point A and point C, and they contradict each other. Either we can have A or C, but we cannot have both. They argued everything under the sun except for the logic between that statement that I made. And I'm not going to go through it now, but they said one thing, and then they contradicted it in the other statement. I said, well, I don't disagree with either one, but you can't have both. And they just argued everything, including religion. I went home depressed, absolutely depressed. And quite frankly, I don't care anymore. I only care about this radio station. I care about getting the word out, and I hope people are listening. Well, boy, this went quick. This is 7 o'clock already. Well, we're going to play our little bumper song here. I didn't even go through everything I wanted to play here. Ooh, wow. Okay. This is the end of today's program. We'd like to thank Ranch Acres Audiology for their financial support, and we'd like to thank you for listening in. You can further the cause of liberty by recommending this program to your friends, and let us hear from you. Our email address is comments at libertytalkradio.com. That's comments at libertytalkradio.com. Remember, you are either allowing your liberties to be taken away or you're striving to protect them. Unfortunately, there's no middle ground. And remember, don't steal. The government hates competition. Folks, I failed to mention that we do have a subscriber feature on our website. If you would subscribe, you would just get an email, no junk email, no nothing. All it would be is a reminder of the program that's coming up and the subject that's going to be discussed. So if you would please subscribe, at least we can advise you and keep in touch with you and let you know what's going on. I'd also like to remind you that I will not be broadcasting on Sunday evening. I will be broadcasting on Monday evening because I'll be out that evening. I'll be unable to do that. There's no way I can get around this one. Okay? So, okay, until next time, stay well, stay tuned. Thank you for listening.